Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today, the focus of Route 51 again turns to politics as we continue our candidate forums by focusing on the Wausau-based 86th Assembly District. We have 85th Assembly District, excuse me. We have three candidates in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio this afternoon: incumbent Democrat Donna Seidel, Republican Chuck Eno, and Libertarian Jim Moss. Donna Seidel is currently serving her third term as Assistant Majority Leader in the State Assembly. Before that, she was the Clerk of Courts in Marathon County, an investigator with the District Attorney's Office, and a police officer with the Wausau Police Department. Among her committee assignments, health and health care reform, children and families, and corrections and the courts. Republican Chuck Eno is a former business owner and an official with the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce, which he says has given him valuable experience in job creation. He says he's running against Donna Seidel because of his concern over Wisconsin's $2.3 billion budget deficit and decisions by the state to borrow money and raise taxes during a recession. He has been endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life. Libertarian Jim Moss is retired from UW Stevens Point. He has worked in public school districts and served in the Army Infantry in Vietnam and in the Wisconsin National Guard and U.S. Naval Reserve. He lists as his concerns veterans issues, gun rights, states' rights, the state budget deficit, and encroachment by federal and state governments on property rights and individual freedom. So we have three very interesting guests and an interesting hour ahead of us. And as always, we invite you to join the conversation. Our lines are wide open right now. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Donna Seidel, Chuck Eno, or Jim Moss and pose a question to them live on the air. So let's start with all three candidates. I'd like to hear about your background, why you decided to run, and what you think your candidacy would bring to the 85th Assembly District. And Donna, we'll start with you.
Well, first of all, Glenn, thanks for setting this up today. I'm glad that the three of us can be here talking to the audience. You know, when I first decided to run for this assembly seat in 2004, I promised the voters that if I would get their support, I would be a really strong voice for them on the issues and concerns that folks in this area have. This had not been a lifelong dream or plan of mine to be in the legislature, but by 2004, as you outlined in the intro, I had put in more than 30 years in my jobs of public service, police officer, investigator in the DA's office dealing with sensitive crimes, and then 16 years of clerk of court. But I also was very, very committed and involved with the community on a broad range of nonprofit and volunteer organizations, serving on the boards of the United Way, the YMCA, Festival of the Arts, the board of the Women's Community, presiding on that board, working as a member of the Noon Optimist Club, and then serving as a board member of the North Central Technical College Board of Trustees. So I felt like, looking back on that I had a real on-the-job training experience. So I went to Madison, and I think I've worked very hard over the past 6 years delivering to this district in a number of ways. I have worked with businesses large and small, for example, working hard to do regulatory reforms to help 3M continue to be a strong, great employer in this community. Spearheaded a law that helped release $500,000 that the county had committed to the Women's Community Capital Campaign to help domestic abuse victims. They needed a legislative change. I got that passed. I also worked with about 80% of the people in this community who were saying we need a level playing field and a statewide smoking ban in Wisconsin, and those will produce positive health outcomes. I was one of the leads on making sure that that got through the legislature. And I also heard from people in the community who were adamant that the Wild West days of payday lending had to end. So I was one of the key legislators who made sure that finally Wisconsin was no longer the only state with no regulations on that industry. So I'm really proud of that kind of work. Now, November 2nd, we're looking at a really tough election time, and I know that the listeners out there and the voters out there understand that this is a decision about priorities, whose priorities match yours. So I am committed to doing what needs to be done for the working families and the small businesses. So while we know that the budget deficit that we're looking at is 2.7 at this time, that everything's at the table, I want to preserve what have always been my priorities from the deepest cuts. And those priorities are education, health care, and public safety, along with taking care of our middle-class families and not big corporations.
Let's move on to Chuck Eno. Chuck, we just heard Donna Seidel talk about her background and what she views as her accomplishments over the past 6 years in the State Assembly. Tell us about your background and why you decided to run.
Thanks, Glenn, for the invitation to be here. As we go through this evening, I would ask your listeners to ask themselves a couple of questions. Am I better off today than I was 8 years ago when Jim Doyle was first elected governor? Am I better off today than I was 6 years ago when Donna Seidel was first elected to the representative of the 85th District? Right. I am Chuck Eno. I want to represent the people of the 85th District in the Wisconsin State Assembly. My family has lived in the Wass area since 1968. My wife Sue and I have been married for 50 years. I was an executive of the Wausau Area Chamber of Commerce before it was renamed. I have been a business owner, a job creator. I've had to balance budgets and meet payrolls. Wausau has been good to me and my family, and it hurts me to see how the politics of Doyle, Seidel, and the Democrats have harmed our community. For the first time in my life, I find myself running for elected office because I believe our state is in real trouble and heading in the wrong direction. We live in the greatest state in the nation, but our state government must be redirected. The current Democrat leadership in Madison, again led by Jim Doyle and Donna, are leading our state to financial ruin. They must be replaced. In the past 10 years, the state budget has increased by 125%. Representative Seidel, as a member of the Assembly Committee on Workforce Development, has been in a position to directly affect business climate in our state. She's proud to point out that unemployment rate in the state is only 7.9%, but fails to mention high unemployment rate in the district she represents. According to the Department of Workforce Development, the city of Wausau has one of the highest unemployment rates in the state at 11.7%. Our state has been identified as the 47th worst state in the nation in which to do business. It is time to take back the state government from the tax and spend organization and the special interest groups and return it to elected representatives who are responsive to the people. As the representative of the 85th Assembly District, I will represent you, not the party of special interests, and not the party. I will communicate with you, keeping you informed of what is happening in Madison and on the legislation being considered. Specifically, I will work to stop excessive spending. I want to reduce the size of state government. I will work to preserve and expand our agricultural industry and cut taxes. I will call for closer oversight of the DNR, the DOT, and the Department of Corrections. I will do all I can to protect the finest healthcare system in the world from the damage of Obamacare. A local doctor, when I stopped by his house, said to me, "If you think healthcare is expensive now, wait until it's free." We cannot continue on the destructive courses charted by Jim Doyle and Representative Seidel. We simply cannot afford it. I'm asking for your vote on November 2nd, Chuck Eno for 85th District. Send me to Madison. Please talk to your family, friends, and ask yourselves again these questions. Are you better off today than you were 8 years ago when Jim Doyle was elected? Are you better off today than you were 6 years ago when Donna Seidel was first elected? If you are honest with yourself, I believe you will have to answer no. Join me, and we'll work together to build a better Wisconsin.
That's Republican Chuck Eno. We've heard from Democrat Donna Seidel. And here's Jim Moss running as a Libertarian in the 85th Assembly District to tell us something about his background, why he decided to run, and what issues are important to him in the 85th Assembly District. Jim?
Thanks for inviting me, Glenn. A little background on me. I wasn't a native of this area, but my grandfather immigrated from Germany when he was a child with his family, and he was a working man. He worked in the Curtis Mill, and their house was over on the, or there still is a house over on the corner of Franklin and 7th, and my aunt and uncle lived around the corner on McIndoe Street. And so a lot of times we would come up, for us this was coming up north, up to Wausau, on Highway 51 and visit our relatives. And so I've got a long-term connection with Wausau. I recently retired from over 25 years of service at the UWSP. I stopped counting after 25 anyway. So, so I'm retired now, and I've got some time, and I'm willing to put my retirement on hold and work to send a message to Madison that I and a lot of the voters are very concerned about the way things are turning out with the economy, with the budget, with the way the government doesn't listen to their constituents, and the way the federal government kind of takes us for granted. And because, I've been, for the last 10 years or so, I've been active in the Libertarian Party because I didn't see any other options. Neither one seemed to represent me very well. I want smaller government, accountable government, and neither the Democrats or Republicans seemed to be offering that. They talked a good story during the campaigns, and then actually in office, it was a whole different story. So I'm running to send a message to Madison that we're not happy with this situation. We've got to get back to some basics, and I think the basic is the Constitution, the state Constitution and the federal Constitution, and our budget must be balanced according to our state Constitution, and it hasn't been balanced for years, in good times and bad, when the Republicans were in charge, when the Democrats were in charge, so that's got to change. Our relationship with Washington has to be corrected. This country was set up with the government getting its power from the people and through the state government to the national government. And now the national government is just taking over, telling our state what to do, what it can do, what it can't do, unfunded mandates and that sort of thing. And we can't make a move. And and I want to safeguard our National Guard from exploitation from the Pentagon. So that's why I'm running for office.
All right. We've just heard from Jim Moss, from Chuck Eno, and from Donna Seidel. And Donna, any reaction to what you've just heard?
You know, in this campaign season, we are hearing a lot of numbers tossed around. But I would like to clarify a point and correct a number that Mr. Eno talked about in the last 10 years of the state budget, saying the budget of Wisconsin went up 125%. Last year when the Democrats, last session when the Democrats took control for the first time in 14 years, we were presented with a $6.6 billion deficit. In that budget, we showed that we could govern and we were responsive to the needs of the people. We cut a historic $3.2 billion out of that budget, a 2.6% decrease. The nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, our number crunching agency, has verified those numbers. In the years where the Republicans were in control, they increased the budget in 14 years 74%. So I think that we are showing the party that can and was fiscally conservative was in fact the Democrats. So we are going to be confronted with another budget shortfall this time. time, and we know that everything is going to be at the table, but I think that we cannot pledge that there will not be cuts to any specific program or agency, but we individually can pledge to safeguard our priorities from those deepest cuts.
You're satisfied that there was a good balance between cutting expenses and still meeting public needs?
Well, we did that.
But there's still a $2.7 billion deficit?
Yeah. We, of course, had the advantage of Federal Recovery Act dollars, and that helped across the state to help communities, help keep teachers in our classrooms and police and firefighters in our communities. We don't expect to have that benefit again this time, but I can assure you that there are not going to be spending increases with Democrats in control.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The federal stimulus, which we aren't going to be able to take advantage again next year, was $2.2 billion, which they helped save a lot of government jobs with. But you would think with $2.2 billion of federal dollars, Wisconsin could have got closer to a balanced budget than another. Now it's $2.7 billion. So I'm worried about that numbers.
Chuck Eno, we'll let you weigh in here.
I think that the claims that Donna makes about reducing state spending are contradicted by a report out by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. The state spent a total of $60 billion in a 2007-2009 budget. And in the 2009-2010 budget, the state is on track to spend $65.8 billion. That's a 9.7% increase in spending. I don't think that's reducing spending.
Donna?
Well, we reduced GPR spending. State tax dollars were reduced by 2.6%, $3.2 billion. If we're talking about federal Recovery Act dollars that flowed into Wisconsin and supported more teachers in the schools and 50,000 construction workers improving our infrastructure, then obviously that money had an impact.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some of your phone calls. You're listening to Democrat Donna Seidel, Republican Chuck Eno, Libertarian Jim Moss, all running for the seat that Donna currently occupies in the 85th Assembly District. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We have the three candidates for the 85th Assembly District based in Wausau, incumbent Democrat Donna Seidel, Republican Chuck Eno, and Libertarian Jim Moss, taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to David, who's calling us. Excuse me, this is Rich in Edgar. Rich, I pushed the wrong button, but you're on the air. Hello, Rich.
Thank you. My question is about public financing of campaigns. For example, Arizona and Maine have a version of a clean campaign program. My question specifically is, would the candidate support a statewide referendum asking if the public would support public financing of campaigns in Wisconsin? And I think it's particularly important to assembly people. They're on a two-year cycle and, you know, a lot shorter than senators and so forth. So would you support a referendum supporting public financing of campaigns in Wisconsin?
All right, let's do a round robin here. Let's start with Donna.
Thanks for the question, Rick. Absolutely would support this. I think in this last legislative session, we started to move campaign finance reform forward by dealing with Supreme Court elections, saying they certainly should, our Supreme Court justices should be beholden to no special interest or group. When we see the amount of spending in certainly our races, other state and national races, people are quite appalled. We saw headlines just the other day that over $50 million will be spent in the governor's race. I think that more and more the public feels very strongly that there's something wrong with this program and it ought to be fixed, and public financing would be the answer. I'm with you. I would support it.
Chuck Eno, public financing?
I think from the standpoint of the Supreme Court judges that is definitely a need that needs to be corrected. Those people work directly for the people. They should not be beholden to any group. When it comes to the 85th Assembly District. So far, I have not accepted anything outside of my district. I am functioning strictly on funds that are within the 85th District. I do not plan on spending $50 million to get elected. I think it needs to be looked at. I think it needs to be taken a strong look at. But in these times when a recession is going on, and it's the 50 in the last 50 years, it's the worst recession we've ever had, I don't think we need to add on top of expenditures of the state public financing of elections.
Jim Moss, public financing of elections.
Libertarians are, excuse me, are really skeptical about the government financing anything, especially elections. And the reason for that is, for one thing, it's very hard for third-party candidates to get on the ballot as it is. We've got some obstacles to overcome for a small party that with not very much money. And so
you're worried that if there's public financing, the money will all go to the Republicans and Democrats.
Well, they'd be in charge of it. So that's my concern. So I'm a little skeptical about public financing of campaigns. It seems like the two old parties would divide up the loot. My ultimate campaign finance reform would be to reduce the power of the government to either help businesses or hurt businesses, because that's why people donate to campaigns, is because they for self-protection.
Glenn, I just have to just interrupt just a moment here to respond to
very
Chuck
very quickly. Okay. We've got 10 seconds.
Okay, he says the Supreme Court is the area that works for all the people, and although we may be elected on a partisan basis, the 56,000 people I represent in this district, my job is to serve all of them.
Donna Seidel, Chuck Eno, and Jim Moss, the candidates for the 85th Assembly District. David and Ironwood, hang on. We'll take you next. We're going to take a short break for news. We'll be back after that. We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio, with the three candidates running for the 85th Assembly District. Based in Wausau, we have Assistant Majority Leader Donna Seidel, the incumbent Democrat, Republican Chuck Eno, and also Libertarian Jim Moss. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. And Chuck, you have something that you'd like to add here.
Yes, I would. Donna says that she represents the 56,000 people in the 85th District, and that funding, that they should pay for our election. And I don't have any argument with that point, but I don't think it should come from public funds, because that means then I'm also going to be paying for somebody in, or people in the 85th District are going to be paying for somebody down in the southern part of Wisconsin. Donna and I would, I think, both agree that we will represent the people of our district, but I think that the funds to support us in our efforts to become elected should be coming from the private sector. If we go with state funding, that missed another control over what's going on in the political arena.
Donna, if you've got anything that you want to add very quickly on this.
Well, I think there's a lot of concern this current election about funds coming from the private sector, particularly after the latest Supreme Court decision. And we are seeing multiple millions and ultimately billions of dollars coming in from that private sector that's unidentified. And that will be a huge impact. That we'll wait to see what the assessment of that is after November 2nd.
The people should be heard on this particular issue in some way. We need to have a referendum or something where the people come forth and say they do or they don't.
All right. We're going to move on to another call. We've got David in Ironwood, who has been waiting so patiently. David, you're on Route 51.
I just listened to public radio a little while ago about the dangers of the rivers are in bad shape. Also, anyone running for political office, I have to give you credit for running. Most of you aren't out to line your pockets and listen to each other. You need to work with each other.
That's right.
There's enough of that.
You have a question?
Environment, you know, I wouldn't mind if the rich keep their money if they manage human resources and the earth's resources in a sustainable way. I mean, good, give them more money. But if you pay your employees so low that they have to get food stamps and you pollute the Gulf of Mexico and the rivers and whatever, the government has to go and clean up, pay the food stamps, Those people should be paid a lot of money. And besides, we should tax them away. So get the money out of their hands because they're ruining things. Give it to the people who actually hire people and do it in a sustainable way. That's a hard job.
All right, David, thanks so much. Thanks so much for the phone call. David in Ironwood is concerned that he wants whoever's elected to look out for the environment of the state of Wisconsin. Who wants to take that?
Well, you know, there are a lot of very important competing interests for the resources in Wisconsin. And this goes back to when we talk to employers and ask them what's most important to them. Surprisingly to many, it is not the tax environment that is first and foremost. Our employers talk about a skilled workforce, a strong infrastructure system, and a healthy, vibrant environment. So we have to keep a very keen eye on all of those issues. And it's going to require, as I said, a lot of hard work, a lot of difficult decisions to be made when we get back and deal with this next state budget. But I appreciate David's comments because he is spot on.
Chuck, you know, Jim Moss, what do you think your role in the assembly is in protecting the environment?
Oh, that's a good question. Donna is in a much better position because of her last 6 years to make comment on it. There's still areas that are going to need attention. I'm not sure that regulating everything and having the government control business and put on all the emphasis on this and that. I've been a residential designer and contractor for the last 25 years. I have seen so many regulations come from the state on sewage and waste treatment in the rural areas that are almost bordering on ridiculous, and they're getting to the point where it is too expensive to build in the rural areas because of the controls that are placed on. So,
Jim Moss, you're a libertarian. You're a big supporter of property rights. Don't you believe, though, that the environment is one area that we have to protect?
Yes, but the way the system works now is some big businesses are licensed to pollute to a certain amount. Extent. And so the libertarian solution for that would be give people who believe their water or their air has been polluted by a company the right to sue that company for damages. Right now they can't do that because the companies are licensed to produce that amount of pollution.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Bruce in Wausau, you are on Route 51 with the candidates for the 85th Assembly. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I heard Mrs. Seidel say that, Representative Seidel said that when they talk to businesses, taxes aren't the issue. And I would have to agree with that because businesses don't pay taxes. They pass those taxes right on to the consumer, and it's destroying my budget. Because I, as a homeowner, I have to stay within my budget, and I don't know what new hospital tax or whatever is going to be passed on to me. And the freezing of the taxes, the state can say that too, because they raised all my fees. My telephone fee now has 75 cents on it that I don't even know what that's going for.
Bruce, are you a business owner, or are you talking about personal taxes?
No, I'm just a homeowner.
Okay.
I'm just a homeowner, and it's harder and harder to pay my mortgage because every time I go renew my license for my car, every time I open my water bill, every time I open my phone bill, there's a new fee from the state or a new license that I have to pay. I mean, I'm being nickeled and dimed to death. I'm wondering, where is the relief for the homeowner? Where's the relief for the small guy? You know, the middle class, you know, they all say they're for the middle class, but if I don't have the money, I have to cut something else. I have to cut my food budget. I have to cut my cable, I have to cut something. I can't keep paying if I don't have the money. And yet the state keeps digging the hole deeper and deeper. I mean, where is the relief for people who can't go out of state? I mean,
Bruce, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to give our guests a chance to respond. Chuck, why don't we start with you this time?
Thanks, Bruce. You're absolutely correct. Business does not pay taxes. Business and industry, when they are taxed, pass it right back on through the cost of doing business, the cost of developing a product. People pay taxes. The most important thing here is that the fees that are added on the individual. There were significant fees this year. The 75 cents per month on the telephone fee, you know, it sounds insignificant, but when you start adding them all up, they're significant. There was a tax that was put on, a fee, I call them taxes, a fee that was put on nursing home beds from what I understand, it was to finance district attorneys in the state. I know that that's one of the areas that I question whether it is.
Donna?
That's incorrect. The nursing home additional fee was set in place to attract additional federal dollars back to our nursing homes. 81% of these homes in the state of Wisconsin benefit from additional federal dollars.
Well, you know, we all want to cut taxes. Everybody talks about cutting taxes, but this state faces a $2.7 billion budget deficit. How can you responsibly talk about cutting taxes if we have to balance a $2.7 billion problem?
You know, it's like digging a hole. You can't continue to dig the hole and spend your way out of debt. You can't continue to digging the hole because it just keeps getting deeper.
In this last legislative session, we put a concerted effort into place to restore tax fairness. And what we did was to do exactly what the caller is talking about. Give hardworking middle class families a break, give our small businesses a break by making sure that the biggest corporations pay their fair share. We had multi-state corporations that were taking large profits out of the state of Wisconsin, parking them at a post office address they established in a place like Las Vegas, Nevada, paying zero income tax. We closed that loophole because with them using that loophole, they were shifting their responsibility to, again, small business, middle class. Republicans are talking about trying to go to Madison and reopen that loophole. The people that talk to me say that's outrageous and we ought to be fair and reasonable and everybody ought to pay their fair share.
Schiappino, they call this the Las Vegas loophole. The Democrats, Republicans call it combined reporting. But really, shouldn't corporations be paying their fair share?
You mean, shouldn't they pay taxes that they're going to pass right back on through to you in the product that you buy? I have some real doubts about that procedure. Every time you tax a government or an industry or a business, it means more work for them, but they're going to just pass those taxes right back to you, the buyer.
The other argument is that if you don't tax the corporations, then the taxes on everyone else has to go up.
Well, maybe what we should be looking at is more of a much more fair taxing method, either a consumption tax or a flat tax. I've seen flat taxes in Europe that have been very successful. I'm not saying that I want to follow what Europe does because Europe is too socialistic for my dollar, but I think we need to take a look at our whole tax code system and redo it.
Let Jim Moss weigh in here.
The consumption tax would be sort of like a sales tax. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not necessarily in favor of a consumption. I like the idea of a flat tax myself. But that's what it is. Yes.
Yeah, it has to be a lot simpler. And as far as Donna touting the we aren't going to let those large corporations get away with anything, what that does is put Wisconsin, as Chuck has said, 47th as a business friendly environment. In the recent case of Harley Davidson, as a result, their tax bill increased by $22 million. And so the state turned around. Now what are we going to do? We got to keep these jobs. So they gave Harley Davidson $25 million in tax credits. Well, we can't do that. And the state doesn't offer that to do that to a lot of the other companies. The tax rules should be business friendly and they should be the same for everybody.
And that's why a flat tax actually is better off.
Donna, we'll give you a chance to
respond. I think that if you look at all of the studies and the research done in the last 5-6 years, we will see a much more business-friendly climate has, in fact, occurred in Wisconsin. I also want to correct the impression that the Wisconsin's fee rating is exorbitant. Wisconsin ranks 38th out of 50 states in the amount of fees our residents pay.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Donna Seidel, Chuck Eno, and Jim Moss, and your phone calls. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We've got the three candidates for the 85th Assembly District, Chuck Eno, the Republican, Jim Moss, Libertarian, and incumbent Democrat Donna Seidel. We've got room for your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. Let's talk about social issues for just a couple of minutes. Chuck Eno, you've been endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life.
Yes, I have.
And tell me your position on abortion.
Very simply, I'm against it.
Are you against it in all cases, even rape and incest?
You know, that child did not choose to be raped or there was incest. That child is born in sin. It was there in sin. There's no reason to take that life away. There are families in our state and our nation who would dearly love to have a baby. They don't care whether it was conceived in sin.
So you're saying if a teenage girl is raped and becomes pregnant, you'll force her to have the child?
I think that's between the child and her parents, not the state.
But if you make abortion illegal, she won't have that option.
No, I'm not saying totally illegal. I'm just saying that the situation should be looked at, and they should be between the child, the parent, and their doctor, not the state, not some bureau that's going to say, yeah, you can or yeah, you can't.
It sounds like you're making an exception for rape or incest, though. You're making the procedure available.
I think there are situations that can be that way. I think that you can also say that if the life of the mother is involved or is in jeopardy, that has to be looked at. But again, that's between the person being raped and their doctor, not some state agency that says you will do this and you won't do that.
Donna Seidel, your position on abortion.
Well, I'm a little confused about how Chuck, you know, answered that. My position is that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare, and it ought to clearly be between the woman, her family, and her physician. My goal as a legislator is to work on public policy that does the best to reduce the amount or numbers of unplanned pregnancies. And I am very proud of the work that Wisconsin has done in the last 2 years. And we have gotten national attention in the great public policy that we have advanced for comprehensive women's health care, including prescription protection. A woman can go to any pharmacy in the state and be assured that if she has a prescription from her physician for birth control, she will have it provided to her. And secondly, it is that if a health insurance company covers prescriptions, that contraception cannot any longer be excluded.
Jim Moss, let's have you weigh in on abortion. Should it be legal? Should it be outlawed?
I pretty much go along with what Donna has outlined. Nobody likes the idea of an abortion, libertarians would agree that it's an individual choice. But you can't. I've learned that discussing this with Right to Life people, you don't convince anybody, because if they believe that life begins at conception rather than at birth, that's a life in there, and you won't be able to persuade them any other way. And so I'm not even going to try. The libertarians would say that option should be legal, but we would not want the government to be involved with any financing.
So I guess if you want a clear-cut distinction between what a libertarian is and a conservative Republican, I think we've got a pretty clear-cut distinction on this particular issue.
It's an emotional issue that nobody's going to win on. I mean, it's a matter of my personal choice. Donna,
I would like Chuck to answer the question. Does he agree that abortions ought to be available in certain circumstances, or does he agree with the Right to Life position that under no circumstances should abortions be provided in Wisconsin?
Limited choices, limited selections. They have to be closely defined. It can't be just randomly available, because I got pregnant. I don't want to have any children because my career is standing in the way. That's wrong.
Let's talk about embryonic stem cell research. A federal judge threw out the decision by President Obama to loosen the restrictions, and the people at UW-Madison, and we've got an entire high-tech industry based on embryonic stem cell research. They're saying it's going to hurt the economy of Wisconsin. Do you favor keeping those standards loose so that they can continue the research that they're doing at UW-Madison and at all of the high-tech companies that are in that area? Donna Seidel?
You know, Wisconsin was emerging as an international leader in stem cell research, and there were opportunities for great advancement in the biotech industry as a result of the research that was going on in the heart of our state. I'm disappointed that that's going to be restricted. I disagree with the rationale for its restriction, and I think that will hurt not only the opportunities for business growth in Wisconsin, but more importantly, it can, you know, restrict the opportunities to advance the cause of treatment and cures for very complicated diseases.
Chuck Eno.
Donna says stem cell research. I would agree with that. Adult stem cell research, we should go right ahead with that. But when you talk about a baby, the embryonic stem cell, I'm not in favor of using a fetus as an experiment on something that hasn't been proven.
Jim Moss?
Well, I would. I think the science has a lot of potential, and I think that UW should be able to proceed with it. I'm skeptical about the government getting involved because, for one thing, I just don't think that the government should be involved with it. I think private businesses should be able to. And when the government gets involved, Chuck is opposed to it. They take his tax money and then they fund it. I don't think that that's right. So I think the government should stay out of it, but I appreciate...
We're running out of time here, so I really want to, and I knew this would happen, I really want to at least touch on health care. The Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, suggested that the state of Wisconsin should join the lawsuit of others filed by other states seeking to overturn the health care reform law that was signed into law by President Obama. Donna Seidel, your position on that?
Well, I can only say that we work very hard in Wisconsin to extend the opportunities to have access to great health care to all of Wisconsin. We in the state prohibited insurance companies from denying coverage for pre-existing diseases as the national plan does. We extended benefits, family care benefits, to adult children up to 27. We know how important that is for our kids that are getting out of school, graduating, working hard, but are getting jobs without that kind of coverage. So I can't believe that there are Americans who are now going to benefit from the ability to get affordable coverage that will want to see it go away.
Chuck Eno.
Nowhere in our Constitution does it permit the establishment of a government-controlled insurance company. This is beyond the purview of...
And Jim Moss?
Well, I would agree with that. The government, as it gets more involved with the federal government, gets more involved with health care, gets more and more expensive, and now they're going to fix it by making it worse.
Now, do you two also believe that Social Security is unconstitutional? Because Social Security is essentially forcing people to buy old age insurance.
Exactly.
So that's unconstitutional, too.
It's not in there. It was written into the law years and years ago, but it's not in the Constitution. Our country is established and is a country country of laws, and we have to follow the law. If you want to change the law, then you'd make amendments to the Constitution. You don't just ignore it and go around it and do something else.
Donna, your Republican opponent says Social Security is unconstitutional.
Well, I'm sorry that it's a program that I wholeheartedly support, and I think that the hundreds and thousands of people around Wisconsin that are depending on the Social Security to make ends meet and live day to day are going to disagree sorely with Mr. Eno.
Well, If you had left the money in Social Security instead of robbing it to pay social programs, it might have been a benefit, but we would have been better off if we had taken that money that I had invested since I was 14 years old, or I had put into Social Security since I was 14 years old. I'll never get my money back. It's gone.
Jim Moss,
it's not a actually, this isn't an assembly issue, but the 10th Amendment, which Chuck alludes to, is an assembly issue. We have to protect. The federal government is going broke, including the Social Security system, and we have to get our finances in order so that we can protect ourselves from the federal government.
Guys, we are completely out of time. And,
and we haven't talked jobs, and I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, that's
can
the
we
most
come
important
back?
Thing.
You want to come back in a couple of weeks?
You know, since Donna was in office, 6,700 employers have disappeared from the state of Wisconsin.
We're going to have to hold it at that. We want to thank our three guests, incumbent Democrat Donna Seidel, Republican Chuck Eno, and Libertarian Jim Moss. Voters will choose one of them to represent the district in the general election on November 2nd. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Thanks for all of you who called in today. And thanks again for riding along with us. Until next week, we're heading out of town.